I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Boys. Prepare for battle.
Welcome to Prattle World. I'm your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider Dan, and in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. Welcome back, guys, and welcome to the first ever full-length edition of Secret Ball Stories. So this week, I have a guest on, the lovely, charming, handsome Nathan Richard Smith.
Good evening, the internet.
Hello, internet. Is this the first podcast you've ever done?
This is the first podcast I've ever done.
But you've got a voice for radio.
Well, that's a lovely compliment. Thank you.
And a face for nothing else.
Hell yeah. So I've been told. I struggle with podcasts because I do a lot of driving, and whenever I've got a podcast on, the gentle noise of somebody talking so delicately does send me to sleep, which is not good when you're on the M62.
No, probably not so much. It's like the the ASMR or the AMSR? It's like the kind of like, oh, you're here. It's like this really relaxing tone. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
Really weird, isn't it? I remember someone told me about one that was like, you're a plague victim, and there's a plague doctor, and she's trying to soothe you.
Oh.
She's like, yeah. It's a bit weird, but some people, it helps people relax and get to sleep and stuff. So I get why it's there. But it's not something I'm particularly into.
No.
So we've known each other a very long time, haven't we?
Is it 12 years?
God.
12 years of knowing Daniel Brazier.
Was it 2008, was it?
2007.
2007, yeah. You're right. It's 2007, yeah. Bloody hell, that's been a long time. Me and Nathan were both actors in our acting degree, our three-year degree of acting at the UCLan University in Preston. And we were in the same class where we were in opposite classes.
No, he was on the other side of the year.
Yeah, there was a bit of argy-bargy, a bit of...
rivals.
Rivalry. There are rivals. Yeah, there's a bit of that. But I never really... Because I hung out with you a lot, you and that kind of group a lot more than my actual kind of class.
But we accepted you. That's the most important thing.
Exactly. I remember Alex Moran jumped ship pretty quickly.
Yeah. That's Alex.
Yeah. If you're listening, Alex, we do love you. But yes, that is factual. So yeah, so we've been kind of doing acting. We've lived together outside of uni. We've done shows together. We were recently in your show by Death by Pie, the company. And it was, what was that one called? I'm forgetting.
It was called Westernized.
Westernized, that's right. We were in a cowboy. It was kind of we had a bar, didn't we? We had a bar, whole bar, working bar. And that's quite unusual for a stage play.
It is. Yeah.
It wasn't on a stage. It was actually in a tent.
Which blew over on the last evening.
The whole thing blew over. Yeah. that was really tragic, but we did get to do the show again, which was a lot of fun. So you're a performer, actor. So this week, I haven't even introduced what we're doing.
No.
I haven't even talked about what we're doing. So bad introduction. So we're going to talk about the top five video game movies, which I think you and me aren't really the biggest gamers, are we? I don't think.
That's why I thought this was an interesting topic, because this comes from two people who are not video game obsessed.
No, not absolute nerds when it comes to video games. I think like my peak was probably like 10, 15 years old. Kind of that was my kind of peak playing a video. I mean, I still play videos, playing Uncharted, I play, you know, Batman Arkham Knight I've been playing. If they're going cheap, I might dabble, but I'm not like very intense. I don't like online gaming very much. I thought it was a bit of a challenge for us. So I thought it was interesting. I like to set a rule for this one, because there is quite a few video game movies, animated or otherwise. So what I said to myself and Nathan, I'd give myself one rule, and it said, as a movie, it had to have at least a UK theatrical release date. And And my other rule really was that it's not necessarily movies about video games like Tron or War Games or The Wizard. It's there are specific video games it's based on. So such as Tomb Raider or Pokemon or Mortal Kombat or Rampage or various other ones. So I'm sure we'll get to all of those. But before we go into, I'm going to start with your top five. Before we get into before we get into that though, I want to ask, what do you think makes a good video game movie?
I think a good video game movie is about the world, and the closer it is to the game, the better. The ones which I think have failed video game movies are the ones which have strayed away from the original story. Intent, yeah. I mean, let me just throw an example out Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
It was just so farly removed from the original story than that. It made it a difficult watch, and it just looked like studio intervention. Like, it has to have this and everything.
Yeah. Cool tech monsters and underground and dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are very 90s.
Some things shouldn't be live action.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm still weighing out. Like, I'm not a big Zelda fan, but I imagine like an anime Zelda animated movie would be amazing.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. But I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon.
No.
Because Nintendo like almost sworn off video game movies after Super Mario Brothers, which had Marky Mark on the soundtrack.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he was on there. So you think anything that's kind of going outside of the realms of what the creators established in the video games?
Yeah, like some video games have got a very simple premise.
Yes.
And my number one, not revealing which
one. Don't give it away just yet.
Has a very simple premise.
Okay.
And that's why it works as a film. That's why I believe this movie is the best out of all the video game movies. And, you know, it's still not been beaten, I think, in my opinion.
Fair enough. I think for me, it's hard to, like, nowadays, like, video games are really cinematic, like with the Batman games or the Uncharted games. And I feel like because you're more invested than you are necessarily watching a movie, because of the movie, you can kind of, like, you look at your phone, you kind of switch off. But with the video game, you are that character. So it's hard. I think it's hard to differentiate when you're watching on screen an actor playing a character. You're like, oh, he wouldn't do that, or I wouldn't do that, because I'm in control of that character. I do this and I do that, and I'm experiencing it in real time. Unlike a movie, because there's a distance, there's a disconnect with that. It's not you who are in control. You have the power. You know, you have the Nintendo power glove on or anything like that. It is a separate entity. And again, like, I think Nolan North is a good voice actor, and he plays the video games a lot. He is in most of the video games. And I think he says it best, that they are like the Uncharted games are a movie in themselves. You know, Metal Gear Solid, for example, have 2 or 3 hours worth of cutscenes.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And like, that's a movie in itself. You know, those are, and that's, you're not even playing anything. You're just watching by that point. And I think that's my main issue with video game movies, is because you're not invested as you would be when you are playing them.
I've got a question for you.
Oh,
on this. Do you think it is harder to adapt a video game into a movie than it is to adapt a book into a movie?
Mm.
And then the second question to that is it harder to adapt a comic book to a movie? Than a video game.
Okay. Again, I think I remember my mum once said that she read Jaws before it came out at the cinema, and Jaws is cinematic gold, isn't it? Really. And she said she preferred the book, and I think that has you know, when something is based on a property, it's an adaptation. It's never going to be exactly what it was in that other kind of, you know, that other entity, if you will. It's hard to get that same feeling, that same, you know, like the Stephen King hates The Shining, doesn't he? Because it's just not what he envisioned. However, it's an amazing movie all in its own. But I think it is tricky. Again, it's a very much a solo activity, you know, reading and playing a video game. Very much like you take your time with it. You take that journey. You feel what you feel in that time. You know, with some video games, it takes me a very long time. They're very difficult. But I think again, it's a tough one. I think it's up for it's definitely up for discussion. But
I think with a book, you think you create what you think the character is going to be in your head, and I think with a comic book, it's kind of the next step on because you've already seen what the characters look like at the very least. Like you can't change certain aspects to them because you can see it there. And then with a video game, it's all there already. And then
it's fully
it's fully packaged. And then when it gets turned into a movie, then you're like, well, in the video game, you look like this or you did that. Or,
I mean, I do that with comic books. I do go, okay, they've changed this, they've added that. But I think when I was younger, I used to be like, don't change anything. It's wrong. You know, why is Wolverine not in yellow spandex? You know, that sort of stuff. But now I go, well, it's an adaptation. They're going to do the best they can. They're going to adapt it as best they can. Like the MCU movies for me, like they change a lot of details. So it's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff they just kind of jettison because it just doesn't work. It'd be really weird or odd, you know, things like Wolverine smelling sound waves, you know, how do you show that? How do you do that? I take everything with a pinch of salt. Every comic book movie I'm quite forgiving about because I go, it's an adaptation. It's not going to be exactly the same. It's not going to be exactly right. There's going to be things I like about this movie. There might be a lot of things I hate about it, but there's going to be something I can take away from this that I go, that was good or this was good, you know. But I did see the Fanfulstic, and there was literally nothing about that movie I could take away. That was an awful, shoddy movie. I know Dan Kietis, one of my former podcast guests, is a big fan of that one, but I have to disagree. I think it is time for us to get started.
Let's go for it.
So I'm going to ask you, is it yours in a particular order?
Is in an order.
Okay.
I have done a full-on order of this bad boy.
Okay, so mine I haven't necessarily put in an order, but I'll go with the order that's already in.
Okay.
So number five, what is your video game movie?
Number five is the Pokemon movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Pokemon, which Pokemon movie?
So it was the Pokemon movie, because I'm aware we've got the Pikachu movie coming in very soon.
I said Chikachu then.
Chikachu.
He's a bit cheeky.
He's also a bit cheeky.
Gets his ass.
Yeah, it was the one which came out, what is that?
98. Pokemon the first movie?
The one with Mewtwo in there.
So he kind of comes out and is like, humanity are evil. I am Mewtwo. Why have they done this to me? And then starts kind of doing his own kind of evil. It reminded me, I'll be honest, that is also my number five.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you're the same. Yeah. So that's great. Yeah. So it's Mewtwo. If I remember the plot, Mewtwo kind of, he comes out, kills all of his human creators pretty much. And then he decides to throw a tournament or something, or like invites loads of Pokemon trainers, don't they? And then he creates storms or something, and they have to get across to the island. So they all like get on Blastoise's back and stuff and start swimming out there, and they use kind of Pokemon.
Quite heart-wrenching in a little bit as well, isn't
it? There's going to be spoilers in this, so if you haven't seen Pokemon the first movie. There's a bit of an anti-violent message to it, isn't there? There's anti-violence.
I mean, the reason for me putting it as number five is it's probably the most anticipated movie as you. Was I then about?
I think I was 11. I must have been 10. I must have been 10. If it's not, I must have been 10. Yeah.
So it was the first kind of movie, you know. We had the cards, we had the game, and then now it's, you know, we have the television series, all of a sudden, then it's on
the movie.
It's a movie, now so it's probably...
Now we've got an app.
Now we've got apps and everything like that. So for me, it was the one on the list which was the most anticipated for me.
Yes, I think as a child, I was like, I need to see this. I even remember they gave you a Pokemon card when you went to see it. Did you remember this?
I didn't receive a Pokemon.
Did you not get a Pokemon? I got it was like a Mew.
Sydney World Wakefield, you owe me a Pokemon card.
It was like you could probably get it on eBay for nothing now. But you got a promotional Pokemon card. But yeah, he kind of Mewtwo gathers all the Pokemon, and then they kind of he makes clones of them, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And then they battle. It's weird that the film's kind of promoting this anti-violence thing when basically the video game is just animal cruelty. it's just cockfighting and animal cruelty.
But then again, and it comes to this, which is a theme I think in my sort of top five, is that like it's got a simple premise.
Yes, yes, I think you're.
And it's and tournaments always make good films.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I think we'll talk about tournaments a little further in the thing. Like I think you're right. There is a tournament, and there is that, and there's always that excitement. Like I've always liked sports movies that are tournaments, like knockouts. When I was really into wrestling, I was like, King of the Ring is the best because it's got like you know all the battle royales and things like that. Those kind of elimination based things I always loved. But yeah, and I think Mewtwo is a good villain.
Yeah, great villain.
He's a great villain. Great villain. He's you know it's been done to death the kind of evil clone stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you know in the psychic power villains with psychic powers and stuff. But you see he's got a great arc
through
the whole thing. He's you know he starts off as
he talks as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's like the only one that actually like him and Meow.
Hey, Team Rocket.
It's like yeah, he's the annoying kind of character, but yeah, he's the only one that really talks and he you know he expresses himself. He doesn't have his mouth doesn't move though. It's like he's speaking psychically,
telepathically,
into our brains. But yeah, and I think it's a really cool little story and yeah, it's quite heart-wrenching in the story. Like Ash gets kind of I don't know, does he get turned to stone?
I think he does.
Yeah, something like that. By the way, guys, we haven't seen a lot of these movies recently, so if we're just like absolutely butchering the plots of all of them, we're like, yeah, Mewtwo, he wore a sombrero. Yeah.
And you mean he doesn't?
And then Psyduck got his dick out. I don't know. So those things definitely don't happen in the movie. But if we get it wrong, forgive us. But yeah. He Mewtwo attacks. I think doesn't he go to attack on the Pokemon and Ash is it Pikachu and he jumps in front.
Yes, that's it. Like
That kind of sacrifice, and he realizes that they're not slaves.
Yes,
they're actually friends, and they're doing though they are fighting and contained in little balls of energy.
Yes,
They're not slaves. We're just reiterating that. Get all the animals. Peter will be onto us. They'll be like, oh my god, Pokemon was all about slavery.
It is a fact, an embarrassing fact. When Brock left, do you know one of the trainers?
Yeah, the guy he just had he had no eyes, did he?
No. When he left the series, I just couldn't hack it. Like,
did you cry?
I cried.
You cried?
I was gutted. I was so upset about it. I mean, it was 10.
Yeah.
I really should have got
to
over
be,
it.
To be fair, he was like a cool guy. He was like the cool, he was like a cool older brother.
He was
the
core.
Yeah.
He was the core of
He was, forgive the pun, Ash's rock. Because he was in charge. He had all the rock type Pokemon, so that was the joke. Anyway, so like Mewtwo learns through, and Mew turns up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like I'll be honest, outside of the original 151 Pokemon, I have no idea. Like at least you could not. Like I'd be like, there's one now that looks like the ghost of a bloody Pikachu. It looks like
that
a freaky...
was the best thing about Pokemon. There was 150, and that was all there was. And then
you had the legendary ones like the birds and stuff. And I can't even remember most of the names of. I remember Ghastly and
Weezing.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Sigh.
But Togepi was like 150.
Pika pika.
Yeah, and Squirtle. That was my favorite. Yeah. Squirtle.
My favorite was Squirtle, Wartortle, and Blastoise.
Blastoise, yeah. That was the best evolution. That's the one I bought because I was like, as a kid, I was like, I want Pokemon Blue because I was like, I want a Pokemon that has guns on his back.
Yeah.
Because that's what I want. But like, I think Venusaur, Bulbasaur, Ivysaur is like the most underrated of the Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a decent Pokemon to go with. But yeah, I think it's a really fun movie. It captures the spirit of the game. You know, it captures the, you know, I'm going to be the very best, you know, that kind of stuff. And there's always like a dickhead trainer. It's like, hey, I'm going to beat you, Ash.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, that's really, and I'm sure there's one in this where he's like, acting like a dick. And you're just like, just get Charizard out and just burn him.
Which STI would you want least? Bulbasaur or Weeping Bell?
Oh, God. Weeping Bell, I think. Weeping Bell. It just sounds disgusting. That is the worst.
Put that out to a vote.
Yes. What would you prefer? Bulbasaur or Weeping Bell as your STI? Yeah, I'll put that on a little tally chart. Okay. So we've done both of lives quite quickly. Yeah. So that's, but yeah, do we feel like it captured the video game? Like,
I thought it did.
Actually, here's a question. Is it based on a card game?
You're going to get so much. You're going to get so much issues now.
I know. We might have lost the battle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to consider it the video, because for me, in my childhood, the video game was much more popular
than
the Target game. I know, like, kids are into Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff, and I say kids, like 25-year-olds now, but I'm assuming.
I guess it's a little bit of a curveball.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a curveball. So forgive us, but I consider it like Nathan says, simple premise, captures the imagination. It's easy to understand. It's great story, great arc for the villain, great villain. All the characters are there you want to see, all the favorites, you know, and it's an enjoyable romp. I watched it 2 years ago on a plane, and I still loved it. I still had a great time with it, and it still touched me in those kind of you know, nostalgic places. So let's move on to your number four.
Now, this is number four because it's more nostalgic.
Okay.
Even though it's a terrible movie.
Okay, okay.
But it's funny, it's camp, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
And it goes by the name of Street Fighter.
Oh, yes. Nice choice.
It's ridiculous.
It's not great, is it?
That's the best thing about it. It's just an awful film. And forgive anybody, please forgive me, anybody who's listening to this. It is Gomez Adams' last film, Raul Julia.
Yeah.
Raul Julia.
That's correct.
That's his last film. And it's just...
I know his son was a fan of the game, so yeah. I think his son must have appreciated him being
You've got Jean-Claude Van Damme, you've got Kylie Minogue.
Yes. As Cammy.
Yeah.
As Cammy, my God. She did look very good, but I did wonder, why is an Australian woman playing a British woman?
Yeah.
I was kind of a bit like, maybe just like, we can get Kylie Minogue. I know for a fact that Jean-Claude Van Damme was coked off his tits.
Oh, really?
He was absolutely, yeah. He admitted it recently. He was like, I was coked on that. I don't even know what was going on there. So he was just like, yeah. But yeah, like the thing for me was that it shouldn't have been about Guile. It should have been about Ryu. You know,
yeah.
It should have been.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That was the main character. You know?
Yeah.
That was, for me, that was always he was the main one. And maybe, you know, Ken second,
yeah,
and then all the other characters. But there's a lot wrong with the movie. But I am with Nathan on this. That I do enjoy it. I enjoy watching it.
It's like
so bad it's good.
Do you know what I mean? Like I can see, if I had the choice of watching the beautiful, harrowing movie that is The Deer Hunter,
yeah,
or Street Fighter, I'm always going to choose Street Fighter because it's more fun and ridiculous to watch. The Deer Hunter is a great film,
yeah,
but I could go living the rest of my life never watching that film
again. But I'll be honest, if it was between Requiem for a Dream and Street Fighter, I'm going Street Fighter every time, like, regardless.
Would you watch instead of Street Fighter?
Put it to another vote. It's not great, and a lot of people's favorite characters were not, you know, used well. Like Dalcine was just like, I'm a scientist, and then all the end, I'm in chains and I'm bald. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the Blanca thing I kind of got, but they literally didn't do anything with it.
Yeah. It was kind of like an afterthought with him, wasn't it? I just put him in some chains. There's an explosion at the end.
He's green. I always think about Street Fighter, and I think, you know, for Japan in the 90s, it was pretty diverse.
Yeah.
Like the video game, like you've got characters from Brazil, England, America, you know, Japan, India. But then also I think maybe they're all kind of stereotypes a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit. Maybe not Blanca, because everyone knows that everyone from Brazil is bright green and has electrical powers.
Is that not?
Yeah. that's the massive stereotype we're here to smash today. I quite like Chun-Li in it. That was, I think it's Ming-Na Wen, I think, plays her.
Yeah.
She's in, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and loads of other stuff. I think she's in ER as well. I really like her as an actor. She's really good in it. Guile is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone else kind of falls into the kind of background a little bit and don't really do. Like Zangief, I'll be honest, the guy who plays Zangief is brilliant. You know, he's like this like proper like burly wrestler. And he's like,
in that bit where they're talking about like the money, he's trying to get some money before he leaves. I can't remember which other character it is. And he goes like, he got paid. Yeah. Street Fighter also has one of my favourite quotes of all time from a film.
Give it to us.
Which is General Bison when he goes, "The day General Bison came to your town is the most important day of your life. But to me, it was Tuesday."
Raul Julius.
Oh, he steals the
show. He saves the movie.
He saves the movie. Well, saves.
Yeah, maybe saves is a strong one. But I love the bit where he's just like, "Game over."
It's that bit as well when Jean-Claude Van Damme hits him and his muscles bring the American flag up.
Oh, God. And he's clearly the least American man ever. He's the muscles from Brussels. He's like, yeah, yeah.
What I find, I'm just looking this up now, is that like Street Fighter came out just less than a year before Mortal Kombat.
The video game, the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I think...
Do you think they rushed it?
Well, I kind of feel with Street Fighter is they took it out of the tournament.
Okay.
Like, like Street Fighter...
There's no street fighting in Street Fighter.
There is no street fighting. There was no street fighting at all in Street Fighter.
So that's false advertising, for a start. There is Mortal Kombat in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But yeah, I reckon they probably rushed it because they were like, video games are so in right now, let's get it out. I think Mortal Kombat, I'm sure we'll get to it in a little while, but I think it's got more to it.
And
it's not as cheesy, it's not as weird. Fair play to Street Fighter, it literally fits in everybody. It was like the Avengers Infinity War of its day, nowhere near the quality of it. But there was something there. I think we've covered Street Fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you've got a favorite quote or anything or a moment from Street Fighter, there's a lot of silly moments in it. If I could remember more, I would. But I'll go with my number four, which is quite a recent one, Rampage.
I've only seen the last 20 minutes of Rampage.
I watched it in your house, in this very house. I've watched Rampage with your flatmate, Matt Catterall. And we bloody loved it. It was a lot of fun. Again, like you said, really simple premise. Mm. These gas canisters fall from the sky, fall from this lab experiment in a satellite. Mm. They like alter the genetics of anything that breathe it in.
Yeah.
An alligator, a wolf, and an ape all breathe the thing in. And they become giant and aggressive. And that is the movie.
And that's simple yet effective.
And it is. And that's, and like,
you don't need anything else.
No, I just need to know how they got big and how they're going to stop them. And that's it. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson has this really interesting... He does sign language with the ape because he's the trainer of the ape and has this lovely chemistry with a digital ape, which it was really sweet and really heartwarming. And you've got Jeffrey Dean Morgan in it, just like, I'm FBI cowboy, and he's like doing his thing and he's loving it and everyone's loving it. And I think who've you got as a villains? I think it's do you remember the girl from Watchmen? Is it Malin Ackerman?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's in that. She's like one of the baddies in it. I can't remember who the other bloke is. I think it's her brother or something. But it's fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a blast, and you know, it's just another like monster movie, fun, massive monster movie. It's like, it's, you know, it's a good kind of kaiju Godzilla type movie. It's fun, and again, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know, whatever you think about him, he's a talent. He's a good talent.
The
franchise saver, yeah, and he, that's why he's in everything.
Yeah,
people love him, and he's very likable.
He can carry a movie very well,
and he does, and he's got the muscles. We loved Jumanji, didn't we?
It was
arguably could be a video game movie as well.
Yeah,
like you could argue that's a video game movie. It's not based on an actual video game, but there's arguments for it. But I just think it's an easy watch. It was entertaining. Again, I didn't go in with high expectations, but I was just like, it's just going to be a monster movie. But like a lot of monster movies do fail on the kind of human element.
Yeah,
I think the monsters are easy because you're just like, they're monsters.
Yeah,
they're going to fight. They do things. But the human element can be quite disappointing. I know, like the Godzilla movie with Bryan Cranston and all those other people that I can't remember, Bryan Cranston died and I stopped giving a shit. I just stopped giving a shit about that film, and I don't think Godzilla's on the screen more than 15 minutes in the whole movie. I'm looking forward to the sequel very, very much, but you know, I found it very uninteresting. I think that's the problem with the giant monster movie. You've got to have that human element and you've got to have it be interesting and just as cool as the giant monster stuff. And if you don't have that, it's not good. And I played, like, I've kind of stuck to video games that I've played as well.
Yeah.
So I played Rampage on the PlayStation. They did like a remastered version of
it.
And I remember there was flashes. Guys walking. It was very cartoony. There was guys walking on the street. There was a guy who would get you in a raincoat and he'd flash you. And he had like underwear on, but it'd just be like that. And then you could just grab him and just eat him. And it was fun. And you could like throw people out the building. You punch the other monsters. It was just a beat 'em up. And that's all that film is. And that captures what that is and just, you know, knocks it out of the park. A lot of fun.
After this podcast, can we play Rampage?
Yes,
I'd like to play this game.
It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's just like you scroll up the buildings, you punch the buildings, they all fall down, and you kind of get more points and stuff. So we'll find that, and we'll play that.
And we'll play that game.
Okay, so that was both of our number fours.
Yeah.
So moving on to number three. What is your top three?
My number three is the Angelina Jolie first Tomb Raider.
Wow. Well... So is Mark.
Oh!
Done it again. We've done it again. So, what is it about this particular iteration of the very famous video game of the buxom lady who is the buxom Indiana Jones, isn't she, basically? What is it about this movie that captures that video game? Do you lock a butler in the fridge?
Not every day.
No. I wish I could.
I think this is an example of just really good casting. And she carries it that way. Like, at the time, what year are we talking here with this?
2001?
2001.
Yeah.
It, you know, Angelina Jolie.
Height of
the
powers.
Perfect casting, you know, it for...
Wait, was that the same year Girl Interrupted came?
I don't know. Oh, it might have been, yeah. I just thought she was the right person for the job.
Yeah.
And that's half your battle sometimes. Mm-hmm. All right, you've got Rimmer from Red Dwarf, and you've got, is it Ian Glen from...
I think it's Ian Glen,
Glen from... Khaleesi!
Khaleesi!
From Game of Thrones.
And Laura!
Yeah. It's anything which is kind of Indiana Jones. Yeah. It's always going to be fun and... you know, trying to find something. It's a good plot.
Yeah.
And that's half your battle.
And again, like you said, simple.
Yes.
Keep it simple. Got my dad left this behind. He was part of the Illuminati. Now I've got to find it.
Yeah.
And it does something. We don't know what it does, but it does something. I've got to find it. Somebody else is trying to find it. Got to beat them to it.
Yeah.
And then what happens? They literally, it is pretty much Raiders.
Yeah.
It's pretty much Raiders of the Lost Ark. They, at the end of the thing, they get the thing, but it's not the thing they want, and it does certain things, and it turns on, and we're like, oh my God, and then everybody wins. It's fun.
Yeah.
I remember Daniel Craig being in it as the love interest, and he has the worst American accent.
Oh, yeah, it's a shocker, isn't it?
It's a shocker. I don't know why they didn't just make him English as well. They just made him American. Like, they had Gerard Butler in the second one. They were like, should we make him American? No, let's keep him Scottish. No, let's learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
That was, is it Cradle of Life, that one, I think it's called.
I think it is, yeah.
But I think she looks the part. Like,
she does.
That iteration of Lara back in the day was, you know, with the large breasts, like, you know, let's talk about it. Her design was very sexualized at the time. Yeah. That's what teenage and young boys wanted. The sexualized, you know, heroines in their video games, in their movies, like that. When they rebooted it, the video game, it's very much like the Alicia Vikander one.
Yeah,
it's a lot more kind of realistic and a lot more kind of survivalist kind of thing.
What was the... didn't they do a Lara Croft a couple of years after the movie, which went quite Metal Gear Solid?
You mean a video game?
Yeah. They went quite sort of like stealthy.
Mm.
They went down that route a little bit more than...
Yeah, and the backflipping while you're shooting a Tyrannosaurus Rex. those are my favourite moments when it's just like absolutely like balls to the wall weird. We have this giant robot fight, which I loved in the first one, and then she like falls asleep and wakes up, and then this guy's, you know, rappelling into her mansion. It's fun. It's, you know, again, doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
I remember John Voight actually plays her father.
Yeah.
Yeah. This must be when they were getting old. Because I know that she had a wild few years, didn't she?
She did.
She had Billy Bob Thornton was probably having the best sex of his life. He was, you know, she had his blood around her neck. Or was it Billy Bob? I think they both wore. excuse me, both wore that that vial of blood. And I remember getting off with a brother as well.
Yeah, that happened.
That'll happen. And, yeah. And I think they had a bit of a falling out.
So this must have been, what, about 5-6 years before Mr. Pitt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been.
Pre-Pitt.
Pre-Pitt, yeah.
Pre-Pitt.
Pre-Pitful.
Yeah.
falling for Pitt. But yeah, it's a fun romp. It's, you know, again, like, I can see why people might not like it and that it's not entirely amazing. But I watched that one fairly recently and it was not as bad as I remembered. I don't know about Cradle of Life.
Yeah.
But she was honestly looks exactly how you wanted Lara Croft to look.
And she
had a great, I thought her English accent was great.
Yeah, I thought it was very really convincing.
I think she's a good actor. She's a great actor. It's fun. It's like there's some great chases. I remember that. I think there's a chase on like a motorbike or something. Or I remember that being really cool. But yeah, and Ian Glenn's great. I need the artifact, Laura. I need it, please. I need the dragon's egg. But yeah, so it's a fun film. So that's why I chose it. And I think it does capture that action adventure kind of explorer archaeologist feel to it. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Right. So that was three, wasn't it?
That was
both
three.
Of our threes. So moving on to your number two.
My number two is Resident Evil, the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not we've not done a double again.
All right. Okay.
It's not mine.
Good,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's interesting with sort of Resident Evil because this is nothing like the video game.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I turned it on.
Yeah.
And I turned it off. I think I got to the laser bit and the holographic child.
Yeah.
And then I turned it off. I was in Thailand a few years ago and we were like, what's on at the cinema? Resident Evil 7. And it was not good. So that kind of, I think that's tainted it for me. But Ian Glenn was in that.
Is he?
Yeah, he was in that as well.
He gets around, doesn't he?
He likes these video game
with movies,
with female protagonists. I think he loves them.
So this was just a year after Tomb Raider, which is interesting. So, like, you got Mila Djokovic in it.
I do love her as well.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, also great.
You've got a great song by Slipknot. I know why you play. Yeah, that's like a great soundtrack.
Yeah, okay.
That brilliant bit with like the laser security at the start.
I do quite enjoy that.
That's a great bit in it. But like I said before, nothing like the video game. But I just thought it worked. Well, I think it works.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like I've not seen all of Resident Evil, but it sounds like when I watched Doom.
Yeah, yeah.
Now Doom, I think, is another one of these films where if it wasn't related to anything, it wasn't trying to be anything, then we would have got an okay film.
Yeah, yeah.
And people wouldn't be as critical. But because in the video game Doom, Mars, they open a portal to hell on the planet Mars. That doesn't happen. They just said that Mars, like living here was like hell.
Yeah.
And it was just like, that's shit.
Yeah.
And there's some sort of weird kind of, Doom is pretty much just The Rock saying fuck a lot.
Yeah.
That's another video game movie he's been in.
Yeah. He gets around.
It just seems we've got these,
like Ian Glenn.
These same actors just keep popping up again and again. But yeah, it sounds a lot like that. But I did like the laser scene. But apart from that, I think I turned it off.
What's your number two?
My number two. So are we done with Resident Evil?
Yeah, I have nothing more to say to it than it's obviously got a lot of sequels.
Yeah,
it works. Mila Djokovic is brilliant.
She's the saving grace.
Yeah,
of
another example of a video game film led by a woman.
Yeah,
which
well
is
cast.
Great.
Well, you know, cast. Well, yeah, that's what we like. We like to see this.
I thought it was a bit freaky.
Yeah. Did it have the liquor in? Did it have the liquors in?
I think it is, yeah.
I think it does have liquors in, but I'm not sure about anybody else. But I think they save those characters.
Oh, yeah. They've got loads of those. Yeah. A bit freaky, scary, jumpy. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. I might try and watch it again. Mm. But yeah, so that's what I turned off, unfortunately. But I did make it through way through Doom, which had a few scenes I liked. Okay, so that was your number two. My number two is going to be Mortal Kombat! Johnny Cage. Raiden.
Well, I might as well say this now.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat is my number one.
Okay, all right.
We can talk about Mortal Kombat now, and then you talk about...
Well, it's good. It's good that we're on the same page with a lot of these movies, because I think it's a tough list to make, like we said. But Mortal Kombat, what a fun film!
Oh, what a great film!
Like, I think it's actually very underrated.
Simple. That's great. Great casting. Christopher Lambert is...
I don't think so.
Yeah. You've got Liu Kang's brilliant in it as well. The animatronics puppetry of Goro.
Oh, yeah, Goro.
It is brilliant.
I think it's Kevin Michael Richardson who does the voice of Goro.
Yeah.
Who's one of the phenomenal voice actors. He was the Joker in The Batman and various other things. Loads of you'll recognize his voice. It's like any baritone. It's basically if there's a baritone black man doing a voice, it's him.
Yeah.
Pretty much. With his big bassy voice. He's fantastic. Yeah. I can't really remember a lot of the other actors' names, to be honest. I'm struggling with the names, but it's now, I think the main problem with Mortal Kombat is there's nowhere near the level of violence that people wanted in that film.
Yeah.
People really, really wanted some uber ultra spines being pulled out, heads coming off. You know, there's a few elements of stuff like that. There's like, I think with like some of the less human characters, there are like Scorpion, is obviously just a skeleton, so they were able to do a bit more violent stuff with a reptile as well. And Goro, I mean, Goro gets a punch in the balls, which is probably one of the best bits of the movie. Yeah.
Brilliant bit.
Yeah. And have you ever, you know, just one day just pointed at someone and gone, "Your soul is mine"?
All the time.
Or fake.
Why they don't let me on the bus anymore?
Like, to be fair. To be fair, like, he says like a lot of the key phrases.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
Like, yes, fatality. He says flawless victory, which is when you get a perfect, when you don't lose any health in the game. You know, they have some of the stages are represented. Like, you know, I think the pit is there or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think
the pit's there. There's some other ones. But yeah, it's a fun movie. It's got a few twists and turns, you know, and like you said, again, simple premise. I do think Mortal Kombat does owe a lot to Enter the Dragon.
The original
Mortal Kombat is basically Enter the Dragon, just with some weirder characters thrown in there. But that's not a bad thing to be based off of.
You know, there's worse movies to be based
on. Exactly. You've got Raiden in there with his, you know, he does wear his hat for a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, there's some really nice nods. And again, they're not like shooting beams of power and fireballs and stuff.
There's some good martial arts in it as well.
Yeah, some great fight scenes. I like the Sub-Zero fight. I like the Scorpion fight with Johnny Cage. The Sonya fight with Kano is amazing. It's
brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, it's proper brutal. He's like, "Hello, love. Give us a break." Breaks his neck. Yeah. Oh, he's another one of these guys that's just like overly British for names. And like, it's probably is British, but he's just like, "Oh, I'm proper British, mate." That's that bit. He's like, "Hello, hello." And then he just goes, "Bah!" Just tries to stab her, doesn't he?
And what's good is that, like, what is Kano's backstory that he's British? I don't know.
I don't care.
But now that's all I can ever see him as.
I'll be honest, I think in the most recent version, the most recent trailer for the new Mortal Kombat game, which I think is Mortal Kombat 11. That's crazy. That's old, super old now. I think he's Australian or English.
Yeah.
He's something. He's got a voice that's kind of similar to that.
Right, Cassis, they all look like the characters.
Yeah, I think Kano's his metal face looks great.
It does.
Still holds up, you know.
Great music, all of that kind of night.
Oh my God, the music is the best thing. I just love that. It reminds me a little bit of Blade, you know, that opening scene of Blade where they're in the club. And it's got all the kind of the 90s dance. 90s dance music is the best dance music.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it is. That's just my personal opinion. I love it. And I think it does capture the video game. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Again, not got the amount of violence we would probably hope for.
Yeah.
But again, that's the audience they were going for was teenage boys.
But what's interesting, it was followed by one of the worst movies in general, which is Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yes. My number one is... No, it's not Mortal Kombat Annihilation. It's just so bad. They recast most of the people. Johnny Cage is on screen for about a minute.
He gets his neck broken immediately.
He's like, "Hello, Shao Kahn. Bye." But it, I mean, it did set up the sequel pretty well.
Yeah, it did.
And they didn't follow through on it.
No.
Like, it was just shocking. Shock. It's just so bad. I'm going to use my animality.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and they turned into animals. They turned into like a, there's like a dragon. Liu Kang turns into a dragon.
They were just trying too hard to fit it. I mean, that's, to its credit, Mortal Kombat Annihilation is.
Yeah.
It really did try to put in all the characters which people felt were missing.
Cyrax, Sektor. Yeah.
All of those sort of Sindel,
yeah. who has like you'll have seen it online. It's the I think Andy Knoll sent me a message and he quoted that. It's like, "Mother, you're alive. Too bad, you will die." It's like one of the worst line deliveries you've ever heard in your life. I don't think some of the acting is that bad, but that is some shocking acting. And James Remar, who is the dad in Dexter, he replaces Christopher Lambert as Raiden.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. And he's like, "I've had a haircut." He's just like, he's like, "I'm human now. I've had a haircut. I'm going to involve myself in the Mortal Kombat." And they just play that. Like in the first movie, they literally play that song every 5 minutes. and to be honest, to their credit, you want to hear it every 5 minutes.
You do.
Brilliant. So I'm going to throw a curveball.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to throw a real curveball for my number one.
Am I going to walk out?
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But my number one is, in fact, Street Fighter II, the animated movie. So this is an anime production. It did have a UK release. It's within the rules.
Okay.
It's within the rules.
Right, okay.
And it is everything I wanted a Street Fighter movie to be that the live action one wasn't.
Right.
The focus is in M. Bison is trying to find the best fighters in the world to brainwash them and to use them and to use his psycho power, because he's harnessed the power of mental health problems, clearly, with his psycho power. No, he hasn't. But he's found that Ryu has it's very much Dragon Ball Z. It's like he's got the highest power level, potential power level. And he's kind of on this kind of journey. He's going all over the world. You know, he's traveling like Street Fighter does.
Yeah,
the video game, you go to all these different, you know, places and cultures. He goes to India, he goes to Thailand, he goes to everywhere. Super violent as well. He gives an uppercut to Sagat at the start of the movie, and he causes that scar because he absolutely bleeds everywhere. It's like everywhere. It's crazy. It's unrated, so there's a lot of violence and stuff like that. That's kind of what you want in this thing. So Bison's trying to find him, trying to hunt him down. And you do get cameos from all the other characters in their forms, you know, Blanka turns up fighting Zangief for like 2 or 3 minutes. Guile, I think the main characters are Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li and Guile.
Yeah.
Chun-Li and Guile team up and Ryu's is traveling, and Ken is brought in and brainwashed by Bison. And all the way through the film, you see their kind of training, friendship. You know, the red headband.
Yeah.
They're fighting, and he punches Ryu in the face. Ken punches Ryu in the face, cuts his face, falls down some stairs. He's like, "Oh, you're okay, man. I'm really sorry." And he's like, he gives him his red headband to tie off his thing. So it's kind of this really lovely kind of friendship. And he's like, obviously at the end, he's like, "I won't fight you. I will never fight you. You're my best friend." And it's great. And there is an horribly, I'll talk about it now. If you ever want to see Chun-Li in the shower scene, you've got your wish, because she is nude in a shower scene. If you're a teenage boy, and you like that sort of thing, there it is. But after that, she has a horribly brutal fight with Vega. And the weird thing was, I watched this with the subtitles on. And in Japan, the names are different.
Oh, right.
For some of the characters. So M. Bison is actually called Vega. Vega is actually Balrog. And what's the other name? Yeah, Balrog. I'm trying to remember now. So basically, they couldn't in America. They were really, M. Bison was supposed to be the boxer.
Because
he looks exactly like. But they didn't want to be sued. So for some reason, they had to swap all the names around.
All right.
So M. Bison.
Yeah.
So that's it. So the boxer was M. Bison.
Right.
Okay. So his name became Balrog.
Yeah.
Vega became Balrog. No, that was it. No, that's it. Yeah. So he's, Vega is M. So M. Bison, I can't get my head around this. So M. Bison, the guy with the hat, the main guy, is called Vega. The the boxer is called M. Bison.
Yes.
And Vega is called Balrog.
Okay.
So the Spanish guy is called, in the Japanese version, is called Balrog. The boxer is called M. Bison. And M. Bison is called Vega. We've got that. Okay. I've straightened that out.
So back to the fight.
Yeah.
Between...
Anyway, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So this absolutely brutal fight. Chun Li's just in like pajamas and he's like slashing into his blood spraying everywhere. And, you know, it's absolutely horrendous. And you're like, oh my God, this is so violent. And it's just like, fuck. No wonder they edited this for when they brought over the UK, they had to edit a lot of the violence out and the shower scene. But then she kicks Vega out of the building. She's like, da, 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 da. Amazing. And then, yeah, the final fight is basically everybody against M. Bison. And it ends in the most like Dragon Ball Z way because Ken and Ryu team up and they go, and they blast him into like nothingness. But it's really, really cool. And you've got E. Honda turns up and he's like, Dalsim's like, I sense a really powerful, he's fighting Dalsim. E. Honda's fighting Dalsim in India. And he's like, Dalsim's like, I sense a very powerful fighter. And then E. Honda just owns him. And it's just like, I'll forget this match and you can have the money. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. I just need. And he's like, oh, you must be the powerful fighter. We're both Japanese. Have some money.
So, of course.
But it's because I wanted to do like a deep dive. I wanted to do like a real deep cut into, you know, and find something that was really unique. And it is probably the best video game movie I've seen. Like the most.
I'd like to watch
accurate.
It. Yeah.
Really, really. It's not long. I think it's an hour and 20 minutes, something like that. It just feels like a kind of a cool episode, a cool extended episode of a cartoon show or an anime. But I really enjoyed it. It was fun and it had all the characters that were handled well. There's a lot of heart to it. You know, it's not just like violence, violence, violence. Like Guile kind of falls in love with Chun-Li and there's like worried about her and but initially he's like, you know, he's like his gruff American. He has the right hair and everything. Mm. Like they look like the characters. There's no like expense spared. There's like Akuma makes a little cameo and a few of the characters. Like you get to see everyone do their special moves basically.
Good.
At some point.
That's exactly what
you want. And that's what you want. And you want to see them fight for like Zangief does his like pile driver, spinning pile driver thing. You know, Blanket turns, you know, his electricity on. You know, shocks him. I'm not sure if Dalsim stretches, but I think there's E. Honda does some of his moves.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all there and it's all exactly what I wanted. And that's why I probably would have picked Street Fighter.
Yeah.
The live action. If this wasn't a lot better.
Yeah.
But I would really recommend it to anybody who's into video game movies because it's fun and it's beautifully animated. It's really dark and like interesting. There's a bit of humor to it. There's not loads of humor, but there's enough to kind of just, you know, keep the Cammy makes a small cameo. Cammy makes a cameo.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would highly recommend watching it. That is why it's my number one. But yeah, so that's our top five.
That's the top five.
I don't want to leave just yet. I want to ask if there was any that didn't quite make your list.
Oh, that's a good question. For me, Rampage, from what I watched as Rampage, I didn't think it was fair to put
if you hadn't watched,
all of it. We were going through last night, weren't we?
Yeah, we were kind of
over video game movies. But you know what? There's not actually that many.
There's not. And most of them are by Uwe Boll, who is an awful, awful director. And I think if you name any of his, you know, video game movies, they're all pretty bad for the most part. I don't know if that includes the Resident Evil ones or not. I think he did those.
I know there's probably a lot of people on social media thinking, why haven't we involved Silent Hill in that?
Yeah. Again, this is another one I turned off. But yeah, I don't know. And there's a sequel as well. There's two of them.
Is Sean Bean in the second?
I think he's in both. I think, spoilers, he dies in the first one and he comes back as a ghost. I am a ghost. But yeah, so I probably would have put Silent Hill on. I did watch Assassin's Creed recently. Not good enough to make the list.
Yeah.
Apparently Ratchet and Clank's pretty good. Yeah, like an anime movie.
Really?
I don't think that got UK theatrical release, so it couldn't have gone on the thing. But yeah, there's a few others, but again, they didn't hit the grade I needed. At least, like, it needs to be at least good. You know what I mean? Just like at least good in some form, whether it's so bad it's good, you know, No,
do you think Pokemon Detective Pikachu will be the best video game?
Possibly. I think,
is that next month?
I think it'll be surprised. I think we'll be surprised. Do you know, in fact, I read today, because I was researching the Pokemon the first movie before I came here, they're actually remaking it.
Are they?
They're doing an all CGI version of it.
Amazing.
It comes out this year in July, I believe.
Yeah.
So it was delayed a bit, but it comes out this year in July. I think it's probably like a direct-to-video thing, but I would watch that.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. So, and which ones, were never going to make your list?
Things like Super Mario Brothers, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Need for Speed.
I never saw Need for Speed.
Max Payne's Shame.
Yeah, I do own that, but I've not seen it.
Mm.
I loved Max Payne. Max Payne, it's a great game.
With such a really good potential of a movie.
Yeah, if they took it seriously and not weird about it, it could have been amazing. Maybe if Mark Wahlberg wasn't the main guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a massive fan of Mark.
You need a John Hamm.
Yeah, someone really serious, really intense.
Yeah.
Someone who looks like they've been through the ringer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So quick question before we go on to our listener comments.
Mm-hmm.
What video games would you like to see, video game movies would you like to see in the future?
I've got two for you.
Okay.
I've got two. I'll leave my favorite choice to the latter. The first one is Abe's Odyssey.
Abe's Odyssey. Okay.
For those people who don't know, Abe's Odyssey was a great sort of strategy.
Yeah, kind of role-play
game about...
It was a platform as
Muddock,
well.
A Muddock.
It has this kind of universe to it as well.
Yeah, it does. He basically finds out the factory that he's been working in is their new products made out of his people. So he has special powers where he can go into the body of other people.
Possession.
Yeah. I just think it's a great world. And I think...
there's a lot there to explore, I think.
Yeah. So with today's technology of really good sort of CGI and animated movies... I think with enough attention, detail, it could be a really, really good movie with a simple yet effective plot.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would suggest, if we go along kind of an animated movie, I would suggest Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah,
Crash Bandicoot. It's got great villains, got great casts, it's fun, it's wacky, it's wild. It could be it could be an old Looney Tunes kind of adventure kind of thing, or... it's got enough going for it where I think it would just be a blast to watch and just really fun. And you go to different dimensions, you go into space.
You have a section where they're driving a go-kart bit as well.
You've got to do the level where something's coming after you. I like the one where there's a polar bear that's chasing you. That was my favorite one. You've got that big bazooka, the apples and everything. You could do a bit of Crash Team Racing in there. Speaking of that, where's the Mario Kart movie?
Yeah, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart would be amazing. Death Race 2000, but Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I'll book the ticket now. I'm sold, got Waluigi and Wario, they're the main villains or something, Bowser's corrupt or something, I don't know, you could do something.
Yeah.
What was your second one, sorry?
It's the greatest video game of all time.
Okay.
That is Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid, yeah.
It's just waiting for the right director and the right actor, Christian Bale, to play Solid Snake.
He could do it.
And them not straying too far away from the original plot as well. Yeah. Because it's a solid, solid story. It's the most emotionally connected I've ever been to a video game.
Mm.
And the fact that
it's two endings, isn't it? Yeah. And you could spend hours just listening to the codec.
Yeah.
You could just listen to those conversations. They recorded hundreds of hours of dialogue.
Yeah.
I actually met David Hayter when I was in Florida last year. Such a nice guy.
Oh,
such a lovely guy. He's really, really, and he wrote the first two X-Men movies. He wrote Watchmen. He directed his own film called Wolves, which is kind of like a coming of age. It's kind of like Teen Wolf, but with more of an action edge.
Oh.
And he's got Jason Momoa as the villain.
Oh,
it's okay. It's pretty good. But he's a really cool guy. And he was the Guyver as well.
Yeah.
It was the Guyver in one of the movies. Yes, Metal Gear Solid is, though I do have like a little, like I'm still kind of traumatized because we lived together and some of our friends decided to smoke weed for a week and play every Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah,
that was ever made. And maybe even two, was it 2 weeks? It could have been 2 weeks. And I turned off Metal Gear, right off Metal Gear Solid. I've only played the first two.
Yeah.
But I love the first two. Raiden and Vamp and all the different, like so many weird, bizarre characters. It's like a comic book itself. Yeah. You know, it could be this comic book movie. Psycho Mantis is one of them. Yeah, I loved Psycho Mantis. I can see that you enjoy playing Super Mario Sunshine. I love when you read the memory cards. Yeah. I played it on the Twin Snakes version on GameCube and it would read all the Nintendo ones. I see you like Legend of Zelda, Wind Waker. It's just like, you're creepy and weird. But I couldn't imagine a more perfect video game to have like an expanded universe as well. You could do like a Raiden spin-off movie. You could do all sorts. You could go stealthy or you can go like kind of and slash.
Because he's got his dad as well, isn't he? Yeah, Big Moth. Solid, you've got all of that.
Solidus Snake and all that. Yeah. Liquid! But you've got to have him say, Snake! Dun, 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 dun.
I've always enjoyed trying to cast who I think it would be. And like, yeah. I think Tom Hiddleston would make a great Liquid Snake.
You know who'd be a great Revolver Ocelot? Jeff Bridges.
Yes, he would.
Yes, he would. Yeah.
Yes, he would.
Oh.
And a comeback performance of Arnold Schwarzenegger as Raven.
Yeah. Snakes don't belong in Alaska. I love that. It's a perfect game. Who would you have as Sniper Wolf?
Sniper Wolf. I mean, the obvious choice these days would be like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
What about what's her face? It was in Edge of Tomorrow. Who's that? That's Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
I think Emily Blunt would be in that.
And then you've got Merle.
Merle.
Merle
just sounds like some guy who like fixes your car.
He does. Yeah. Who would I cast as her? Like
redhead. Doesn't have to be.
An Emma Stone would be brilliant. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she'd buff up for the part, but she'd be pretty sharp on that.
And I think a Christian Bale would be a brilliant. And then you could have Kurt Russell as the Colonel.
Or you have him as the villain. You have him as Solid Snake or Solidus Snake. Yeah. Or you have him as that character.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. What a great nod. What a great bloody nod that would be to God, Snug. Oh, you sold that to me.
Yeah.
Is there any others do we think we'd like to see?
Parappa the Rapper. Yeah, I'd watch that.
Toad Jam and Earl.
Yeah.
We're getting Sonic, aren't we?
Yeah.
As weird as it looks, we're getting Sonic.
We're getting it whether we want it or not.
With those big muscular legs. So mussy. He's like the Lance Armstrong of running. The Usain Bolt legs.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Right, so I think we're coming to a close, I think. I think we're coming towards the end. So I just want to have a quick shout out to the people that have got back to us on the social medias. So first off, we've got Marcus at the Marco Guy on Twitter. He suggested Tron. Unfortunately, like we said at the start, Tron doesn't count. He's also suggested the three animated Resident Evil movies.
Oh.
Now I know I've watched one of them and I quite enjoyed it. It's very fast paced and it's all CGI. And I really did enjoy that. But again, I don't think they've had theatrical releases in the UK, so they wouldn't necessarily count. But if we did a direct-to-video top five video game movies, maybe that would make it. And he's also suggested Mortal Kombat, which we've already talked about. Dan Keatus, at DL Keatus on Twitter, he has gone, he said, ooh, good call. Silent Hill and Mortal Kombat are certainly favourites of mine.
Yeah.
Haven't seen either of them in a very long time, though. Probably much like us.
Yeah.
Nerds Chatting, so at Nerds Chatting on Twitter, they said, are there any?
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, mic drop.
Yeah.
So he's suggesting there's no good or great.
One day, a film will come along. And it will come. Be the best. I mean, if Disney can make a successful movie over a ride.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And, you know, we've had, you know, board game video games like Battleship.
Yeah.
You know, Clue. Clue's a good one. Clue's a great film. Who else? So I am Jack's regular irregular musings I am Jack's musings has suggested. He says, is there enough good ones to make a top five? We like to challenge ourselves, Jack. So Doom had its moments. Like I said, it does have the first person bit where he's chopping into all the monsters and stuff is great and shooting them as well. It's got the BFG, big fucking gun. Silent Hill suitably spooky and Mortal Kombat kitsch fun. Tomb Raider 2018 was elevated by committed Alicia Vikander performance. The Angry Birds movie was more twitty than I thought it would be. Okay, so suggesting that. He's also tweeted again, and he says, I haven't seen Rampage, otherwise that very well might make the list. And it certainly did. Jack and the Geekstalk at Jack Geekstalk on Twitter. Not sure, not too much to choose from. Probably go with Assassin's Creed, Mortal Kombat, Resident Evil 1, Dead or Alive.
Oh, yes. I used to enjoy that game when I was younger.
With the bouncing breasts. There's a recurring film of large bouncing breasts in video games, apparently back in those days anyway. And quite an interesting one, Final Fantasy Spirits Within.
Oh, right. Is that an anime?
I believe it is a CGI kind of anime. I think I'm not sure if Spirits Within is the one that's really not based around Final Fantasy.
Must have so much potential for a movie.
Yeah, there were seven when we were kids. Yeah, you know, when that, like around 98 or something. So there must be what, like 30 now. I think the Spirits Within is the original one they released, but it's got like pretty much nothing to do with Final Fantasy. Yeah. But it looks beautiful, looks gorgeous. I tried watching it once, but I again didn't finish it. So we're going over to Facebook, and James Gaskell has suggested Hogs of War, Siphon Filter, and Spider-Man 2. But I don't think he understood the premise, because I'm pretty sure Hogs of War and Siphon Filter don't have any movies.
Well, it was a great game.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. What was that one with like Jack Black, where he was like a metalhead or something? Yeah, it was like a battle axe or something. That was a weird one.
I don't know.
Yeah, something. I can't remember what it was called. But anyway, do you remember Conkers? Do you remember the squirrel? And he would like fight like a poo monster and things like that.
Oh, I think I do.
It was like a dirty video game before they made dirty video games. It was like
games.
A platform, and it's like, you know, he would be like, you look at, you know, there'd be a character with like big tits or something. Again, big tits. Can't get off the big tits today. But yeah, I don't think, I mean, so Spider-Man 2 is a great video game based off a great movie, based off a great comic, but it's not a video game movie.
No.
So we can't. Oh, Andy Knowles is here.
Yeah.
So he quoted Annihilation. Mother, you're alive. Too bad. You will die. In all seriousness, Andy says, Silent Hill has been the only solid video game movie I've seen.
We haven't included it in ours.
No. And I've seen, so the only solid video game movie I have seen, and even that is pushing it. So Angry Andy Knowles, a frequent guest on this podcast, has put his two cents forward. And we didn't include him, Andy, sorry, but that's the only one. So that's what every other listener has thought of the top five or video. It's a hard one. It's a challenge, but I think we've surpassed it.
Yeah, and I think this is a call out to producers across the world,
movie studios.
Movie studios. If you're going to make a video game movie, keep it simple.
Yep.
Keep it close to the story of the video game.
Cast actors that look the part and can play the part very well.
Yeah.
Like Lara Croft, Liu Kang, I think it's Alice from Resident Evil. All these characters are very iconic now. I think, I don't even sure if Alice was in the original Resident Evil video games. I don't think, but Mia Jojovic has made that character so iconic, no one can separate it now from the movies. I think so we've got simplicity, cast actors well.
Yeah.
And you know, kind of harken back to the game or...
Yeah, practices. And you know, I think Mortal Kombat would be considered an even better movie than probably it is now, if it probably was a bit more violent.
Yes.
You know, like, so taking those aspects of the movie.
So it's the translation, isn't it, really? It's things that are lost in translation between the video game and the movie itself.
Yeah.
Like, you need to kind of make that transition fine. Like we said, like, the ones that go away from the video game or divert from the video game and their plot and, you know, things that are like, because again, like we said, there's certain, like Super Mario Brothers could have been okay if it wasn't based on Super Mario Brothers. Doom could have been okay if it wasn't based on Doom, you know, because we have expectations, you've set our expectations. So we expect, you know, certain things from those movies. And that is the tricky thing. I think that's the tricky thing about sequels, remakes, reboots, is that you can't be too different. You can't be too much like it either. And you can't be too much like the original. And I think it's tricky. I know they did do a web series for Mortal Kombat a few years ago, but I never
heard. Very popular, wasn't it?
It was popular because I think it was kind of like a Marvel universe build.
Yeah, and it was very gory from what I remember.
Yeah, I've heard. I didn't watch in the end, but I've heard. But the most recent, you know, Mortal Kombat games have been super violent. And they've got the X-ray vision, so like when you punch someone in the face, you can see their skull start to crack, and you know, fatalities have only got more violent. I'd love to see an Injustice maybe animated movie. So like, you know, evil super, you know, Superman accidentally kills Lois Lane and his unborn child goes mad, becomes a fascist, and then Batman has to fight him. You know, that'd be an amazing film. Like, I'm surprised they haven't made an animated movie of it yet. I know they did do an animated version of Assault on Arkham, which is based in the Arkham games universe, which has the Suicide Squad in. That would be cool to see something like that as well. But I think that is us at an end pretty much. So before you and I go, I just want to say, is there any kind of, you have a Twitter handle or a you know, kind of any social media presence that you'd like to, you know, if someone vehemently disagrees with you?
Yes. Give you lots Send of hate. All hate mail to @NathRichSmith, because my name is Nathan Richard Smith. If you're interested in quirky slapstick genre parodies, my theatre company is Death by Pie, and our Twitter handle is @DeathByPieCo.
Good stuff. And you can find The Spider Dan and the Secret Balls on Facebook. If you type in at the top of the search bar for @SecretBalls, the page will come up. Twitter is @Dan_Balls. And this podcast will be available on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and many, many more. Thank you very much for being my guests this evening.
Thank you for having me.
And it's been a lot of fun. I think we've had a laugh. I hope you've had a laugh.
Will you have me back?
I would definitely have you back. Is there anything? I have a suggestion for,
all right, yeah,
for
yeah.
one for okay. to do in the future. I want to do, I call it Wrong Direction.
Yeah.
And it's basically about lesser known films by great directors.
Yeah.
And I know you're a big fan of Martin Scorsese.
I am, yes.
So I would like to look at one of his little known films. It's a comedy he did called After Hours.
I've not seen that.
And it's got Griffin Dunne in it and Rosanna Arquette, and it's supposed to be very underrated, and it's one of the only comedies he ever did, and it's very low budget, but I'm very interested to watch it with you and to
love it. Yeah,
we can discuss his films, and you know, we can discuss why it didn't work or why it wasn't as successful as some of his other films, but yeah, we'll see if he did go in a wrong direction.
Yeah, no, put me down for it. That's
we'll do that. I've got Andy scheduled for a David Lynch one.
Oh, brilliant.
So I'll do that as well. But thank you again. And thank you guys for tuning in. And I'll be back very soon. Bye-bye.